Let us pray. Solomon sought wisdom before riches, and was affirmed and blessed. So grant us, Lord, wisdom to know and do your will. Speak to us, we pray, through the riches of your word. Amen. The British Prime Minister, Herbert Asquith, once spent a weekend at the Waddesdon estate of the 19th century Rothschild family. And one day, Asquith was being waited on by a butler at tea time, and the following conversation ensued. The butler asked Asquith, "Tea, coffee, or a peach from the wall, sir?" "Tea, please," replied Asquith. "China, Indian, or Ceylon?" replied the butler. "China, please." "Lemon, milk, or cream, sir?" "Milk, please," replied Asquith. "Jersey, Hereford, or Shorthorn?" Decisions, decisions. Too many choices. We make choices from the very beginnings of our life. My daughter Sally started choosing what clothes she would wear from the age of 3. Much to her mother's annoyance. And our 3 Bible readings today set before us most important choices. Unlike that tea time scenario, these are matters of life and death. Firstly, with that reading I began our service with from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, the call comes, choose life. God's chosen people, Israel, had lost their way, lost sight of God, and made wrong choices. But God, with his wonderful love and grace, gave them another chance. He offered them a restored relationship with himself and offered them life and blessing if they would stay close to him, a near relationship, a walk with God. But on the other side of that coin, if they would fail once more to learn the lessons of their past, to repeat their acts of disobedience and unfaithfulness, God warned them of the dire consequences. If you do not choose life, you choose death. If you do not choose restoration, you choose destruction. So God says, choose life that you may live. The choice was Israel's to make. It was a difficult choice, a serious choice, but not impossible, not beyond their grasp. God assured them, "What I command is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach." It wasn't out there. It was in here. It was a matter of the heart. What does this say to us today? Well, it says to us that it is possible and achievable for us to make wise choices, to choose life for ourselves, and I would add, for others as well. We help one another to choose life in our different relationships, at home, in our family, in our working life, as a community. We help one another to choose life. We can influence others to choose life. We are privileged to have influence on others that God has entrusted to our care. Family members, friends, children, grandchildren. We can help them to make wise choices. And yes, be honest and tell them about our mistakes, that they may learn from them. From our Old Testament reading, there comes the call to choose life. And from this side of the cross, from the advantage that we have that the Old Testament people of God didn't, we know that to choose life is to choose Jesus Christ. That's how we choose life. And that's my second point. Choose Christ. In that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tackled what it is to have the character and the conduct that God desires. Jesus looked into the heart of that crowd and looked beyond their outward appearance, external righteousness. He looked into their hearts and he could see any wrong motives that led to wrong actions, that seed of evil that would lead to a wrong decision, a wrong choice. And Jesus exposed what they and what we, if we're honest, would like to be hidden. In effect, Jesus, the great physician, performed open heart surgery to bring them healing, to bring them wisdom, to remove their sin, to make them clean. And we're challenged, aren't we, as we hear his word and wonder, how can we live the holy way that God desires? But by his mercy, he helps us. As we abide in Jesus Christ, as we remain in his love, we are being transformed into his likeness. To choose life is to choose Christ. And then from our epistle reading, we know that to choose Christ is to choose growth, spiritual growth. The story is told of a group of tourists visiting a picturesque village. And as they walked around, they came upon an old gentleman who was leaning upon a fence gate. And one tourist approached this elderly gentleman and asked him, "Were any great or famous people born in this village. And the old gentleman thought for a moment and then replied, "No, only babies." Only babies born in this village. That was a wise answer. And it reminds us of our common beginnings. We all begin in the same place. But we grow and we change as we develop towards maturity. And likewise, Paul tells us we are growing upwards in spiritual maturity. But at the church in Corinth, Paul says that they were spiritual babies, infants in the Lord. They had tensions and quarrels. They acted according to the values of the world and not the values of the kingdom. They quarreled as to who they should follow, Paul, Apollos. They were forgetting that Christ is above all. So their growth was being stunted. They needed to grow up and grow up in God. What does this say to us today? Well, it reminds us that in our Christian ministry of learning and caring, we are growing up in God. We are being changed from glory into glory. God hasn't finished with us yet. We are being fed ourselves, and we are feeding others through that influence that I mentioned earlier. And just as our physical growth is dependent on nourishment, our spiritual growth depends on nourishment. Moving from milk to meat as we feed on Jesus, the bread of life, as we feed on God's word. It doesn't happen overnight, but over a lifetime. So may God help us in this week ahead to choose growth. To choose growth, to remain close to God through prayer, through His Word, through His Spirit. In this week ahead, may God give you and me the grace, the will, the power to choose life, to choose Christ, and to choose growth. And may our lives and influence direct others to choose life, choose Christ, and growth. Amen. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we have been reminded again this evening that we are not robots without free will, that our lives are not set on railway tracks where we have no power to affect the course of our lives. But you, in your wisdom, have given us will and choices to make. And Lord, this evening we want to pray for your church. We thank you for the ways in which our Christian fellowship here enriches our lives and helps us to grow in so many ways. And save us, we pray, Lord, from putting our trust in any other than you, our head, our master. Save us from divisions or squabbles, and lead us in the way that leads to life. May your people walk blamelessly before you. Lord, we bring to you the needs of your world. We bring to you places and lives who face danger and conflict, poverty and brokenness. We bring to you all those who live with the consequences of wrong decisions. Those who have sinned and have been sinned against. We bring to you those making the headlines for lives and communities affected by flooding, and for those risking themselves to bring help and protection. We bring to you those needs closest to our hearts tonight. Friends and loved ones who need our prayers. And in the quietness, we lift them before your throne of grace. Holy God, you gather the whole universe into your radiant presence and continually reveal your Son as our Saviour. Bring healing to all wounds. Comfort all who grieve. Make whole all that is broken. Speak truth to all illusion and shed light in every darkness, that all creation will see your glory and choose life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.